Batman, it's the Batman show. Batman, it's the
You had
Batman.
the perfect setup to do the na-na-na-na-na Batman thing.
Well, you're right. Well, last week I did, the Star Wars thing from SNL with Bill Murray going, Star Wars, it's not the thing. You're not supposed to do the theme. You're supposed
It's
to do
true.
something that's a little sillier than the theme itself.
I mean, that theme is pretty silly.
Batman, Batman, a Batman, Batman, Bat, the Batman, the Batman, Batman. Yeah, it's pretty good. It should have been the theme song for the Adam West Batman TV series.
Well, in case you guys hadn't figured it out, we're talking about Batman today because last week's Star Wars episode came out better than I could have hoped.
Was fun.
Was a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun. Let's talk about the Batman. Biggity Bat.
Yeah, so we're doing
Batman.
Batman. Batman probably behind the one or two most recognizable hero on the world.
I think so. I think the Batman is I keep on calling him the Batman.
Yeah.
He's a pretty iconic superhero.
Yeah, so.
Or should I say super villain?
Oh, stop it. Batman's a superhero. That's what we're going to allow.
Okay.
Thank you for.
If you think billionaires who beat up mentally ill people is
Oh.
a superhero,
Oh. No.
those people need help. And Stephen Strange, no, that's the wrong
That's the
Hugo
wrong one.
Strange. Yeah,
Hugo
Hugo
Strange is a
Strange
monster, though.
is a
That dude
monster, and
sucks.
he Hugo Strange should not be allowed to help any human being.
He sucks. He's bad at his
God.
job.
He is
Good
really bad.
supervillain, bad at his job. That's the hot
Look,
take you came for.
I have my whole thing about DC Comics, and I really think DC Comics is the more conservative leaning comics, and I it Batman is like it's like a wet dream for people. It's like, oh my God, he's a billionaire and he's a superhero and he beats up all of these disfigured, strange people that don't know what they are. Oh, and psychologists and smart people are the villains. Oh, yeah, that's what
To be
that
fair, only like a couple of Batman's villains are actually smart. Clayface isn't smart.
A lot of them are smart.
No, name me two besides. Okay, so you got Poison Ivy, she's a doctor. You got Hugo Strange, she's a different type of doctor. You got Harley Quinn, she's a doctor. Who else you
Gene
got?
McTrent?
Now, who else you got?
The Mad Hatter,
He's
who's
not a do
also a
he
doctor.
He's not a doctor.
Yes, he is.
Is he really? Hold,
Yeah.
I'm looking it up right now. All right. Jervis Tetch, the Mad
Yeah, he's
Hatter.
a doctor.
I'm looking it up. I'll find out.
Look it up.
I will, thank you. It says
The
scientist. That's not a doctor. Riddler's also not a doctor.
Well, the Riddler's he's a genius.
Yeah, but like being a non-doctorized genius is just a waste.
Mr. Freeze, did we not bring up Mr. Freeze?
Mr. Freeze is a doctor, yeah. He's got a doctorate.
These are a lot of people who have like are highly educated individuals.
Okay. Now, you know what? You're right. And I hate to admit that, but you are right. I hope you're happy.
I am very happy. Oh, Hush! Oh my God, Hush is a plastic surgeon.
But no one likes Hush.
I like Hush. I think Hush is a great villain.
Sure. So let's we're gonna pick our starting point for Batman. I guess the main question to ask you first is, before we start, how you feel about Batman? What's your intro point to Batman? And I'm pretty sure it's the same intro point as it is for me because we're roughly the same age.
For me, it's the Tim Burton movies.
Yeah, it's one of those things that I think you can't really explain to a younger generation how big that movie was.
Yeah, that first Batman, Michael Keaton is still my favorite Batman.
Oh,
And
no.
oh,
No,
what?
thank you.
Do you think I was going to say Val Kilmer?
No, I think Val Kilmer is a great Batman, but
Val Kilmer is a great Batman.
Michael Keaton is not my favorite Batman.
I like Michael Keaton because I think his Bruce Wayne is pretty good because he's really eccentric, and it's like, come on, like, you know, this guy's a billionaire who's lost his parents at a young age, and he wears a costume to fight crime. He's got to be a little weird. Like, he can't be like... There's nothing right about this person, first and foremost.
He's a huge fucking weirdo, and it's true. Yeah, he's got a lot of trauma. He is the weirdest of the Batman.
Yeah, and I like that about that character, and I think it sets the tone really well. But, like, as a movie, that movie is pretty fantastic for being a superhero movie happening in, like, 1989.
Yeah.
Like, that's a big deal. That movie's a big deal when it comes to comic book cinema.
Yeah. Because prior to that point, all we had were upcoming episodes of the Superman movies.
Yeah.
So, but I want to talk to you. Oh, I'm sorry, go on.
I was going to honestly, love that Joker.
Yes. Oh, my God, yes. Before we jump too far into that, I want to get your thoughts on Batman 66, the TV series with Adam West and its movie.
I got no problem with it. I think it's very campy, and I think it's a lot of fun. I think Adam West's Batman is pretty funny. It's over the top. It's zany. It's really silly. I don't think there's anything you can really hate about it, just because it is what it is. I feel like that it embodied comic books at a perfect point at that time.
Yeah, that's something that I think gets lost when people are like, "Oh, it's so silly." It's like, well. Yeah, I mean, Batman in the 50s and 60s was deeply silly.
Yeah, there's
the stories are kind of tame by comparison.
Yeah, come on.
But yeah, I love Batman 66. I like the Silver Age a lot. I'm down for silliness in my comic books.
Me too. That's why you know, when we talk about Batman Forever, I really enjoy Tommy Lee Jones's Two-Face.
Oh, he's, yeah, well, hold up, put a pin in that, we'll come back to that.
We'll put a pin in that.
Yeah, all right, so let's go through the movies, starting at Batman 89. Not my favorite of these, I prefer the sequel, but still pretty great.
Look, it is a pretty great movie. I think the TV ad with the Joker selling the cosmetics is probably the most amazing and fantastic and scary thing to think about. I love Jack Nicholson as the Joker. I love every line he delivers hits. The, "You're my number one guy," is just great on so many levels.
I feel like he's been really underrated as a Joker in recent years. And it's a shame because he's got such energy to it.
Oh, the energy! His energy is just fantastic. The costumes, the just being all over the place, the way he is, it's just there's some really great things to take from that Joker. And yes. It's just, you know, I know Heath Ledger did an amazing job as this kind of like black op type psychological warfare Joker, but like gangster Joker is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that Joker is a lot of fun, and he's scarier because he's having fun.
I think the thing that really sells it for me is the scene where he's talking to the other mob bosses, and he electrocutes that one guy with a hand buzzer and still keeps talking to him after he's dead. It's horrendous, and it's so funny and so scary at the same time.
It really is. It really is.
And also, that fucking Prince score soundtrack.
Oh, yeah. Right?
Prince and Danny Elfman. Oh.
Right? There's a lot to love. And I also love that Tim Burton understands that the city of Gotham is a character as well.
Yeah, so this started a bad trend, at least for the rest of the 90s Batman, where Gotham got silly at the end of it.
Oh, yeah. No, it did.
Yeah. We follow that up with Batman Returns in 92 with Danny DeVito as the Penguin and Michelle Pfeiffer as Catwoman.
Look, oh, can we not forget about the real villain of this movie?
Christopher Walken.
Christopher Walken coming out of nowhere, becoming the real villain, like Tim Burton making an original Batman villain.
Yes. I prefer this movie. I watched all these movies when quarantine started. This is my favorite of the 90s batch.
Look, Michelle Pfeiffer is fantastic as Catwoman.
Honestly, Danny DeVito, I think.
Oh, biting the guy's nose?
I gotta tell you, whenever I have salmon and I eat the fish skin, I always imagine that scene of them bringing him a big fish. That's what I always picture in my head.
I give it for Tim Burton understanding, like, the complete, like, horror of the Penguin as kind of like a character monster.
Yes.
I think it's just a really great way to do it. And his circus team was great.
Oh yeah, with a baby Doug Jones in there as like one of the big tall freaks.
Look, it's great. And I also love the character designs. I got to give something about, like, you know, Michelle Pfeiffer's Catwoman, her design is just amazing.
And what I think is really interesting is that Catwoman is so iconic, and then they never really went that hard in the comic books for her costume with the stitching.
Yeah.
Like, at this point, Catwoman was still in her, like, purple leotard, and she didn't get a black costume until the 2000s. And even then, it was more functional than whatever Michelle Pfeiffer is wearing.
Kind of true, right?
Right. But that movie, that's a tremendous movie. I love every bit of it. Even Christopher Walken's shit son.
Oh, man. Man.
Yeah. So that brings us to Batman Forever, 95, with Joel Schumacher and Tommy Lee Jones and Jim Carrey as our villains.
Right, I got things to talk about this movie.
And Val Kilmer as our new Batman and Chris O'Donnell as our Robin.
I do want to make everyone know, make it known to the universe that one of the greatest U2 songs ever written was written for the soundtrack of this movie.
Is it Hold Me, Throw Me, Kiss Me, Kill Me?
Yes.
Yeah, and it's overshadowed by Kiss from a Rose.
Yes, Kiss from a Rose is great, but that U2 song hits. But this is what I want to say about this movie.
Sure.
I like Joel Schumacher. I really do. And I really felt like the producers held him back because Schumacher had no idea that Batman was dark. And Schumacher has done a lot of dark movies. And, you know, he did Lost Boys.
Yeah.
And he was basing his knowledge of Batman off of the Adam West. So this is how I'm judging the Schumacher movies. Besides Batman and Robin, we'll talk about that. I'm judging Batman Forever based off of Schumacher remaking the classic Adam West Batman movies.
Well, I'm sorry, go on.
No, I'm just saying, I think he knocked it out of the park.
Yes, I want to push back slightly on how dark Batman and Batman Returns is, because they're really just kind of Tim Burton versions of the TV show.
Yeah.
Because the plot of Batman Returns with Penguin running for mayor is a direct episode of Batman 66. So I'll push back slightly, but that's not really the point. I like Joel Schumacher overall. And I think Batman Forever is tremendous. I think Val Kilmer is great. Nicole Kidman, amazing.
Oh, amazing. Jim Carrey does a great Riddler performance.
Jim Carrey's performance is so good that we are still aping it in 2022 for our villains.
Yes.
When we need a weirdo villain, we go to Jim Carrey.
Yes. And I think the other biggest thing is, like, the sleeper of this movie is honestly Tommy Lee Jones's Two-Face.
I think his Two-Face is so silly when we go to his house and half of it's nice and half of it's awful.
Yes.
Isn't Drew Barrymore one of his girls?
Drew Barrymore Sugar and Spice. It's like Drew Barrymore and I forget who else
I
is
forget who
the
the other
other person.
girl is. Oh my God, yeah. It's so good. I think the downside is Chris O'Donnell.
Yeah, whatever.
It's kind of weird that his Robin is like roughly the same age.
Yeah.
And I know we weren't, I know it was cool in the 90s to be like, oh, Robin's got it. Robin's old now. But it kind of sucks because he's like, why would he stay with this guy? He's
Yeah.
like 25. Get an apartment.
Go get something. I you know, there's things about like different film techniques that I really think Schumacher does a great job at, and that's the way he lights films. He does a really good job at lighting films and lighting it with neon and lighting it with a lot of color. That movie has a whole different that Gotham has a very post-punk type cyberpunk, not post-punk, but a cyberpunk type feel to it, which is really cool to think about. Like this is more like future Batman in a weird way than it is like past Batman or present.
It feels like when you're watching Batman Beyond and they show you Neo Gotham,
Yes.
it's very like as a city, Joel Schumacher's Gothams are unlivable. Like they're so vertical, the roads go nowhere, there's slums
Yeah.
every like 6 feet. But
Yeah.
like once you get past that, like it's so visually interesting.
It really is. And all of his sets are very visually interesting. Even down to like the Riddler's lair. Like it's really interesting.
Yeah.
Man, yeah, it's not a bad Batman
It's
movie.
not. But we have
It's
to
really
we now we go into the bad Batman movie, which is Batman and Robin 97. George Clooney is our Batman, Chris O'Donnell is our Robin, Alicia Silverstone as our Batgirl, and then we have Uma Thurman as Poison Ivy, some wrestler as Bane, and Arnold Schwarzenegger as Mr. Freeze.
Yeah.
This movie just kind of is bad all around, and
It leans into the cheese.
yeah, and in 97, I don't think audiences were into it. I feel badly for Alicia Silverstone because, you know, she got so much shit for quote unquote being overweight, but she's just not good in this. Like,
No, she's really not. They're all not good in this, honestly. Like it's just
I
the
think Uma Thurman is good in this because she's so
well, I feel like
vampy.
yeah, and I feel like Uma brings it. Like every set she's on, she brings it. So she always does a really good job
Yeah.
as an actress. And I don't know. I just it's just a it's I got nothing on this. I got nothing. There's a bat credit card.
Yeah.
And I can't say they put nipples on the bat suit because Batman Forever had nipples on the bat suit.
It's true. I'm not super vexed about the nipples on the bat suit, frankly.
It's just like, all right, it's a weird character design, whatever.
Yeah.
You still have the same production design as a previous Schumacher movie. So you still have these really beautiful colors. You still have these amazing like sets. Honestly,
This deeply
this
silly Gotham.
deeply silly Gotham. It's wackadoodle. What is the beginning of this? It's like an old folk like. Am I remembering this right? It's like some really old people, and there's like an auction.
I couldn't tell you. I don't recall.
Because that's not
Oh, I think
the
there is an auction at some point
yeah.
after Ivy shows up.
I do love that beginning of Batman Forever with the bank robbery with Two-Face
Oh, with
robbing.
the vault of acid. That's very comic booky, and I do like that a lot.
Very comic booky, lots of fun there.
Yeah.
But I don't know, the Mr. Freeze thing with the hockey players and
Yeah.
what killed the dinosaurs, the Ice Age.
The ice puns are bad, and
Yeah.
they are fun, but like not in this movie. And George
No,
Clooney, I think George Clooney could do a better Batman now.
Yeah, I think older Clooney can play a really good Batman.
Yeah, and this also had the plot of Alfred dying, which I also was like, oh. I don't want to see Alfred die.
No.
That's a bummer. And also Batgirl being Alfred's granddaughter? Grandniece?
Yeah, all of it's off.
It's a mess. It's a mess.
It's a hop.
And it killed Batman for 8 years until a little director called Christopher Nolan came around and took the guy from The Machinist and made Batman Begins.
Yeah, and can we just point out the fact that Christian Bale lost a lot of weight from The Machinist, and then he put a lot of weight back on? I feel like Christian Bale's insides are 190 years old.
Oh my God, it can't be healthy to do as much weight shifting as he's done.
No, it can't.
So we got a very realistic, air quotes, Batman for this. We traded Joel Schumacher's silliness for Chicago. We traded a rocket powered car for a all terrain tank vehicle.
Yeah.
We focused a lot more on the ninjutsu stuff. We had Liam Neeson as our Ra's al Ghul,
which is I think is an amazing casting.
I do too, but I really liked. Oh my God. Who is the man? Ken Watanabe played the Asian Ra's al Ghul in the Himalayas. Yes. And I kind of wish he was more.
I hear you.
So how are we feeling about a realistic Batman? This movie was a huge success.
It was a huge success. Cillian Murphy as Scarecrow.
He was very good.
Man, he was very good. I feel like if the movie would have just been Scarecrow as the villain, and Ra's al Ghul is still in the background, and Ra's al Ghul doesn't come out until like the third movie, I think it would be, this is a solid movie. And there's a lot of implications in this movie that I've talked to a lot of people about. It's like the Scarecrow most likely indirectly created the Joker.
Oh, that's an interesting theory. I hadn't heard that one.
Because when he floods the hollows with the gas, you know, the Joker could have been walking around and then boom, just snaps.
I like that. I like that fan theory a lot.
Just saying, it's a fun little fan theory. It's probably around. People have probably discussed it, but like, I think he does a fantastic job as Scarecrow. But I honestly, Gary Oldman as Commissioner Gordon. Can we talk about how great that is?
Yeah. So in the 90s Batman movies, Commissioner Gordon is very ineffectual. He's kind of just the guy from the 60s TV show. He's just there calling Batman because he can't do anything. And Gary Oldman's like a real deal cop.
Yeah.
Like he's accomplishing things. And it's Gary Oldman.
Gary Oldman.
When do you think his last bad performance was?
Can't even.
Yeah.
I just can't. I really can't. I really enjoy Gary Oldman and everything he does. So, he's like Alan Rickman.
Yeah, so I think it's also interesting, you know, how kind of grounded this Batman was. You know, we had Morgan Freeman as his Lucius Fox with his tech.
Another great cast.
Yes, and I think they did a good job of explaining, like, why Batman does the things he does.
Yeah. And Michael Caine as Alfred, which is another great casting.
Yeah, it's like the oldification of Aunt May. We went from too old with Michael Goff to Michael Caine, who maybe did some war crimes in The Dark Knight.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe. Oh man, no, but he is just, Michael Caine's fantastic in this, and I feel like that's one thing I give a lot of respect to Nolan as a filmmaker, is that he knows how to cast a movie.
He sure does.
He is technically sound as a director. This man understands sound design. He understands how to set up shots. He was the perfect choice to really bring Batman back. And he succeeded on so many levels. And, you know, Batman Begins isn't one of my top Batman movies because I still love the Tim Burton movies. I like the Tim Burton movies a little bit better than Batman Begins, but like the follow-up movie.
Yes. That brings us to 2008, The Dark Knight, like the highest grossing movie up until fucking Avatar came out.
Yeah. This is a really well done comic book movie.
This was I remember at the time people were like, this is the first good comic book movie.
Yeah.
Like this is the one you could get awards for.
Yeah, just saying it made over $1 billion.
Yeah. Oh yeah, you know, just a billion.
Just a billion.
And this movie this movie really lives or dies by Heath Ledger. Heath Ledger kills it. I mean, it's a tremendous performance.
He takes a whole nother approach, honestly, of the Joker. And that's what I was saying before. It's like Jack Nicholson is that gangster, really over the top, but like you should be afraid of this guy because he's having fun. Heath Ledger, there's nothing right with this man. No. He is like portrayed himself as an agent of chaos, which makes me think that there's more to his backstory that like Heath Ledger created with Nolan. And this is my hypothesis. Okay. My hypothesis on this is that Heath Ledger was a psyops, like in military special forces type guy. Mm-hmm. He gets out, you know, he's done with that life. You know, he's trying to recover and he's trying to get things right. And then he gets hit with that gas. And it doesn't affect him the way it affects everyone else. Because it just boom. It unlocks everything in him. So, you know, because the Joker is the one bad day. He is the reversal of Batman. Batman had one bad day and he becomes Batman. Joker has one bad day and he becomes the Joker.
Right.
So, you know, there's parts in this movie where I'm like, this guy has real, like, Black Ops training and nothing. He's just pure chaos. He is pure chaotic evil. And it doesn't matter. He just wants to watch everything burn because that is his purpose. There's so much torment that's happening in the back of his head because of the things that have happened, that he just wants everything to burn. It doesn't matter. But he also realizes he needs the Batman.
Yeah. do you think that we would have seen a bigger role for him in Dark Knight Rises if Ledger had lived?
I think he would have been the judge.
Oh, that would have been very interesting.
I think he would have been the judge instead of the Scarecrow being the judge. I think he would have been the judge.
Yes. This is a good time to mention legislation that Matt and I have passed called Heath Ledger's Law, where you can't judge a movie casting by just the first appearance. Because this is important to remember for you children. When Heath Ledger was cast, he was the guy from Brokeback Mountain and 10 Things I Hate About You and A Knight's Tale.
Yeah.
And he got a lot of shit for it. And then the movie came out and we were like, oh, we were super wrong. He's great.
Yeah. So it really was.
So remember Heath Ledger's Law. Whenever you see someone cast, you don't like it.
Yeah. If you have a question about it, just be like, I'll give it a chance.
Yeah. I don't want to undershadow Aaron Eckhart in this, who played Harvey
Dent.
Oh,
not at all. No, this is another thing about Two-Face, right? Like, yeah. The people who get casted as Two-Face do a fantastic job as that character. And I think what's important about Eckhart's performance is how good of a Harvey Dent he is.
He is such a great Harvey Dent that when he does get turned into Two-Face, it's all the more tragic. And kudos to the special effects, because his face scarring is very upsetting.
It's great. Yeah, it really is.
Yeah. We don't really talk a lot about the love interest in this one. The first movie had Katie Holmes, and this one had Maggie Gyllenhaal.
Yeah, this is Maggie Gyllenhaal.
Do you have any strong thoughts on these love interests, this Rachel Dawes character?
Not really. I just feel like it's a it's like a plot mover. Hmm. I really do. I feel like that's the look. You know what? I think they try to put love, tons of put love interest in Batman stories, and I just don't think that type of human being could ever truly love anybody. That's first and foremost.
Only the Catwoman.
I don't think he loves Catwoman.
He does. He's pay reader.
Doesn't mean anything.
That's a good point. Which then brings us to 2012's The Dark Knight Rises with Christian Bale again. It has Tom Hardy as Bane. It has Christopher Nolan's favorite French lady.
Oh yes.
As Talia.
Yeah. That's also another great casting.
Yes. And Anne Hathaway as Catwoman. Marion Cotillard.
Yeah. Yes. So first and foremost, let's tackle Bane.
This Bane is like 85% great.
Yeah. I really enjoy his approach on Bane. Instead of like the wrestler getting poisoned and all that stuff, this dude is a revolutionary. Yeah, guy wants to burn the system. He's like, no, the system doesn't work for us.
Yeah, it's taking all the good parts of Bane's character without the luchador elements.
Yeah. This is pretty much like Occupy. This is around Occupied Wall Street time. And mm-hmm. I feel like this is that, like, you know, there's the line with the banks and said, oh, like, thieves aren't allowed here. And he's just like, then why are you here? To the bankers. And I'm like, that's brilliant.
Yeah.
This is Bane. This is who he should be. Bane shouldn't be a luchador. He should be a revolutionary. And something bad happens to him. And he is like, yeah, he's driven. This is the thing about Batman villains. They might be right.
Some of them might be. Poison Ivy is definitely right.
Yeah, Poison Ivy is right.
Yeah. The only problem with Bane is that voice.
Oh, yes. That's a bad impersonation.
It's very distracting from a very good performance.
Yes, it really is. Plus we get to break the bat in this movie.
We squeezed in an awful lot in this movie.
This does a lot. This has bits of like Long Halloween, and this has
bits of breaking in the pot. Yeah,
a little bit. Yeah. So there's a lot of that ending though,
and a small smattering of Dark Knight Returns.
Also. Yeah,
like a taste.
Yeah.
The ending. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
Yeah, I don't like it.
That's kind of all I can say about it.
This isn't Batman and Robin.
No.
It's not that bad.
This is a movie I remember really liking in theaters, but I really didn't care for the ending.
Yeah, I just feel like he didn't stick the landing.
Yeah. Which is fine, because like everyone was done after this one.
Yeah, and I do feel like there was a lot of really good moral questions that were presented in this movie. And I think if you weren't paying attention, you would have missed a lot of that. And one of them was with the bat tech that was he was able to spy on everybody.
Oh, yeah.
And his choice of shutting that down is, you know, a billionaire, a corporate billionaire who has the ability to monitor and know what everyone's doing at all times. And he made the correct moral choice to shut it down.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, Elon, maybe.
Elon wishes he could be Batman.
Just saying.
No, he wishes he was Tony Stark, so.
Yeah, he does.
You'll also forget Joseph Gordon-Levitt's in this movie.
Oh yeah, he could be Robin. Who knows?
He might have been. Yeah,
he might have been. Yeah, who knows?
So yeah, so that's Christopher Nolan's trilogy, and then Batman lays fallow for about 4 years until we get the Snyderverse with Ben Affleck, starting with Batman versus Superman: Dawn of Justice.
Hmm. That's a lot of Marthas in this movie.
That's a lot. It's a Martha-heavy movie. They're not real Batman movies, but I like Ben Affleck as Batman.
I think Affleck is a good later in life Batman, if you get what I'm saying.
Yes. He's very Dark Knight Returns Batman.
Yeah. He's bigger, and it's just like, I guess I gotta do this.
Honestly, I really love the scenes of him working out, getting ready to fight Superman. I think that's
just ridiculous.
I think that's some good shit, though. That's kind of what I want.
Just ridiculous.
That's what I want from an old Batman who's gonna fight Superman. I want him to be, you know, doing the rope thingy and pushing weights. And then he shows up in Suicide Squad for a hot second, and then he's in that Justice League movie.
Yeah, I just got nothing. The rest. I got nothing on them. I just feel like they're just weak.
Just to be clear, the Zack Snyder version of Justice League is the better version. It's true. Zack Snyder's cut is the better version of that movie.
I just refuse to accept his choices when it comes to visuals and style.
Sure. We're totally
I don't know. Yeah.
And then we have 2022's The Batman with Robert Pattinson as our Batman and Colin Farrell as the Penguin and Zoe Kravitz as our Catwoman. Oh, and Paul Dameron as the Riddler.
Yeah. Who, I got to say this before we talk about it. I haven't seen this yet, but I did read an interesting fan theory about Paul isn't playing the Riddler.
Oh, that could be interesting.
He's playing Hush. And it makes me very happy.
There is, I am due for a rewatch of this movie because it's a great movie, but it's 3 hours long. So you got to really set up some time to watch it. I love it. I'll see if it's true on my next watch through.
Yeah, I've heard nothing but good things about this movie. I'm excited to watch it.
It's a great
movie. With that in the back of my head, thinking that, like, he is setting up Hush, I kind of think it's like, oh, that's a great... If you hide that with the Riddler... That's a pro move.
Yes.
That's understanding how to manipulate the content and work with it to your advantage.
Yeah. We'll have to see what happens in a couple of years when we have the sequel to The Batman.
Yeah, we'll see.
Fingers
crossed.
Fingers crossed. Over on the television circuit, we had, there were the Super Friends for over a decade. Those shows are very hit or miss, depending on how you view it.
Yeah.
But the real and most important Batman thing is Batman the Animated Series.
Oh yeah, this is groundbreaking. It's more than important, and it's really funny to think about, like, the 90s being a really interesting time for groundbreaking comic book cartoons.
Yeah. We had this, we had the X-Men, like, we had Superman, who was very underrated.
Yeah, it's really fascinating.
Can I tell you, the thing about Batman the Animated Series, it showed me that you could have an ending with the hero succeeding and it still be fucking miserable.
Yeah.
And I think of the episode with the Riddler in the Labyrinth of the Minotaur, where the Riddler, they stop the Riddler, they save the guy, but that dude is scared shitless every night with a shotgun.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh man, yeah.
It's so good.
So good.
That
It is really good. Also, we
became
got a
a.
couple
I'm
of
sorry, go on.
old villains. They he is that that comic book that not comic book, that TV series established so many great Batman villains
And
and
revitalized a
work.
bunch of ones that were pretty poor.
Yeah. Plus, Mark Hamill was the Joker, so why are we?
Yeah, so no talk about this is done without talking about Kevin Conroy as Bruce Wayne Batman and Mark Hamill as the Joker.
Yeah, that's great. Nothing but positive things. Honestly, nothing but positive things about this whole,
Positive
like,
vibes, even when it goes into the coming the new Batman adventures later on,
yeah.
it's still good. Batman Beyond, what are you thinking about Batman Beyond?
You know, I'm okay with it. I only seen a few episodes of it, and I think it's fine, honestly. I think it's a fun twist on like future Batman.
Yeah, I like it a lot. I think that the villains they've crafted for it are fun. And when they
Yeah.
bring back old villains, they usually have a pretty good story to explain why they're back.
Yeah.
Then we have his appearances in Justice League and Justice League Unlimited. Those are great cartoons also.
Yeah.
This is my time to talk about Batman the Brave and the Bold and how I was wrong about it. Because I
A
thought
good
that
wrong.
I was I, cause when the, when Batman the Brave and the Bold is the Silver Age Batman team-up show where Batman teams up with someone every week and they solve crimes. And
Yeah.
Matt and I watched the first episode and I was like, this is dumb. I hate this stupid show for babies. And then I came back way later and I was like, oh wait, they're doing super deep Silver Age and Bronze Age cuts.
That's pretty fun. That's
It's a
pretty
lot of
fun.
fun. So then after that we have Gotham, the live action baby Bruce Wayne series.
Whatever.
People really like it. I watched a season. I don't
I
know.
just I'm not on this school of thought that the villains existed before Batman. I'm a strong believer that Batman creates the villains.
I kind of like the notion that they were all just there and they all kicked off at the same time. I kind of like that.
Okay. I just feel like Batman's responsible for the villains. It's
Some of
just kind
them.
of like you create a lot of the problems.
I think you can do
It's
that,
not that
but I also
purpose.
like because they have their version of the Joker, and I don't know too much about it. But the Riddler is like in there from the first episode, and he's just a creep.
Yeah.
And I know that as the show goes on, he gets a little more deranged until he becomes full Riddler,
Yeah.
which I like. So let's talk about comics. What is your favorite Batman comics? Your favorite Batman
That's
stories?
true. So I've read out of all the major story arcs of Batman, out of any comic book character, I think Batman is the one I've read a good bit of. But I pick and select. This is the thing. I only like reading Batman after the fact and after story arcs have happened. And I got three of them that I can tell you that I think is, well, let's do three and a half, because one is a quick little one shot.
Okay.
So number one, well, let's just number four. Number four on my list is Batman. Well, no. Ooh. Number three on my list, sorry about that, is Batman Year One.
Oh
This
my God.
comic book, what?
I know Batman Year One is such a good series.
It is very good. And the thing about this series, it is drawn beautifully.
David Mazzucchelli, man.
Mazzucchelli Kelly knocks it out of the park, and it inspires my favorite Hawkeye run. And the
My
style.
favorite thing
Beautiful.
about this, it's not the things that are cool, like the Batman, at the mobster's table, lighting things on fire. My favorite thing about this is Jim Gordon. It's really Jim Gordon's story. And his fight with that corrupt cop, and I forget his name, Flass.
Yeah.
His fight where he gives him the baseball bat before he beats the shit out of him. Oh my God, chef's kiss. It's so great.
Yeah, yeah. They got it. They got it. Because, like, you know, this is Batman in the beginning, so Jim Gordon is trying to do his best to clean up Gotham. I feel like we might have the same comic books that we like, because my next one is The Killing Joke.
Oh, I don't like The Killing Joke. I really
don't. You
don't
like The Killing Joke?
I really don't.
Oh.
And listen, you know what? It's okay to like a comic book, and we all have different runs that we feel differently about.
It's true.
Killing Joke does not do it for me.
Oh, all right. I'll skip the Killing Joke.
No, but by all means, tell me about it. Tell me what you love about it.
Look, I really like Alan Moore, honestly. I think when Alan Moore sinks his teeth into established characters, he pulls deep from them. He's kind of like the way Hickman is now. Mm-hmm. You know, Alan Moore was pulling really deep, and I think he establishes a lot of great things, and I think he shows how brutal the Joker is and how ruthless the Joker can be. So this is, I feel like this is more of a Joker story than it is a Batman story. Yeah.
Okay. Well, what's your number one?
My number one, and it's a tie, because like I said, 3.5, because my favorite is Arkham Asylum, but it's a one-shot. Okay. And Arkham, it's beautiful. It's a beautiful book. It's
You're talking amazing. Grant Morrison's Arkham Asylum, right?
Yeah. Yeah, with, I forget who the artist is on that. We'll look that up, but someone fact checked us. But my favorite is Long Halloween. My favorite is Long Halloween. I do like Hush. I like Hush a lot. I think Hush is a fantastic comic book run. I'm not a big Jim Lee fan. Yeah, with his style, I really don't like the way he draws. It just kind of like gets to me. But I really like Long Halloween. I love the throw Batman in a gauntlet of villains and see if he can handle this. I think that's Batman's best. And Arkham Asylum is the same way. It's the gauntlet. You have to throw Batman in a gauntlet.
Yes, I think he works best that way.
He's not kind of coming out of this. There's no way he's going to beat this guy. There's no way he's going to win. And he always figures out how to win. You know, you don't get a lot of the detective storylines based out of this, because it's more of just like him just fighting his way through psychopaths. But I don't know. I think Long Halloween is a fantastic, is a fantastic comic book run. And I think if anyone says it's like, oh, I want to get into Batman, I would be like, read Long Halloween. And it's a well-drawn comic book too.
It is. I'm going to talk about some comics that I also really like, different than what you have.
Oh, I like this.
So obviously I'm going to talk about The Dark Knight Returns.
Mm-hmm.
The ultimate final Batman comic, at least until Frank Miller ruined it by adding more Batman comics. I mean, Frank Miller, man, he is an acquired taste.
He really is.
He has some really out there thoughts about superheroes. Some of them are bad, like All-Star Batman and Robin. And some of them are pretty good, like this one. You know, the idea of a broken-down Batman in a city overrun by mutants, which is kind of weird, but okay.
It's a lot of fun.
Culminating in a giant fight with Superman. wearing wearing an armor suit. It's wild and it's pretty great. And I think when they did the animated movie and they had Peter Weller doing the voice, it was really perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to mention No Man's Land, which was one of my favorite Batman things. It is a Gotham City cut off from the U.S. government, has become a lawless wasteland, and Batman is trying desperately to fix Gotham, and it's not fixable. It's completely fucked.
Yeah.
And it went on for over a year in comic books. There's, if you want to read the comics, there's like 5 trades that have collected all of it. But there's a great novelization by Greg Rucka, who's one of our favorites. And it really cuts out a lot of the fat. And it's just a great story. You know, I can't praise it enough. And for a more modern thing, you know, Scott Snyder was the Batman guy for a long time at DC. And he went weird with Death Metal and, you know, the Batman Who Laughs. But his run with The Court of Owls and Zero Year, even though we made fun of Zero Year a lot when it came out, they're both really excellent Batman stories.
Yeah.
Especially Court of Owls, which is now going to be used for every adaptation in the future.
Court of Owls is that's a bold move.
Yeah.
I have to bring that up. I feel like there should be more payoff with the Court of Owls. But oh man, I'm going to go back to Hickman. That's like Hickman level shit.
It's so good. And I mean, fuck, it was such a good concept, and DC has been wise not to spend the court too heavily.
Yeah.
They're kind of niche enough that you can reference them.
Yeah,
they're not overexposed, at least not yet.
Yeah, they're in the back. They are truly the shadows.
Yes. Now that may change when the next Matt Reeves Batman comes out, and when this video game comes out, which brings us to the final leg of Batman, the video games.
Yeah, talk about the video games.
So Batman had bad video games for a long time.
Super long time.
Until Arkham Asylum came out.
Yeah, Arkham Asylum is, I feel like Rocksteady really got it. And I feel like the detective mode in that game is fantastic. I loved finding all the little things. I loved just learning about the villains.
Yes.
The Arkham inmates. And I like how, this is the thing I think what shines about that game, is how closed off you are. You know, the sequels open up the world a lot, and I don't think that helps the game. I liked how confined you were to Arkham. I think that made that game shine.
I've gone on record as saying that Arkham Asylum is my favorite of the two. Because I like how confined it is. I like the smallness of Arkham Island.
Yeah.
Having said that, Arkham City is also a great game.
It is. It really is.
The only issue I'll take with our Asylum and City and Night is I don't like what they've done with the Joker. Where he turned into a horrible monster at the end of Asylum, he's dead in City, and he's just taunting you throughout Night as a ghost.
Yeah. Which is a pretty interesting,
I guess, concept. But I really hate the ending of City, where you're taking out the dead Joker. I just don't like it.
Yeah. I also really don't like the way they portray Harley Quinn also.
Yeah, no, I don't like that either.
So, there's that.
I like Arkham Origins, but it's a glitchy little game, and it's very hard to get a hold of now.
I do have to say I like the Scarecrow in the Arkham games.
Yeah, that was kind of an interesting little mechanic they put in.
Yeah, that Scarecrow is kind of frightening.
His segments are all great.
Yeah. He is a frightening character. Croc is great too. Killer Croc is very well.
That section in the bowels of Arkham Asylum where
it's
sound based. Tremendous.
Very.
I replayed Arkham Knight recently. I really like Arkham Knight more than I did the first time around.
Okay.
I think there's too much Batmobile, but you know, it's fine.
Yeah. And I can't really remember Arkham City as much. I want to, but I feel like Arkham Knight really kind of it blurs the two games for me because they're just so wide open.
Yeah. I will say another thing I liked in Arkham City was that they had open case files you could investigate. And there was 15 cases you could look into and like track down stuff.
Oh, Arkham City had that really cool Mad Hatter stage.
Yes. Probably the best Mad Hatter thing around.
And then the Hush storyline was really cool because you start like investigating murders and you notice body parts are missing. That was a cool. I'm thinking about like this a little more.
And then my favorite is the Victor Zsasz stuff where you're on a phone and you're just hopping from phone to phone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's some really fun stuff. They did some fun stuff in that game.
Yes. Did you see the gameplay for Gotham Knights?
I did. I'm not impressed.
How are you feeling about Gotham Knights?
Not impressed. It doesn't look like it's a next-gen game.
Which is funny because they've canceled the previous gen. It's only next gen.
I know. It really, and I'm looking at it, I'm like, this doesn't look like a next gen game.
Here is my concern. Because I watched the gameplay video and it looks right. But it also looks like that Avengers game.
Yeah.
And that makes me nervous. Because that Avengers game is not bad, but it is very repetitive.
Yeah.
So I don't know what to make of it. It's coming out later this year, allegedly. So we'll see.
We will see. That's all I can say.
Yeah.
There's nothing else we can do, right?
No, not really. We don't work for Rocksteady.
No, we don't. They design great games, so I would give them that.
They have designed three great games.
Yeah, that's all you need.
Yeah.
Honestly, like, it's...
Oh, wait, are they working on that Suicide Squad game?
I think so. We can check.
I'll check.
We need a good fact checker. We need someone...
Okay, they are working on the Suicide Squad game.
Yeah, that looks good.
Yeah.
That looks more fun and up there.
Yeah. Gotham Knights is by WB Montreal, so...
Yeah.
We'll see about that. So that's the end of the Bat-tacular Bat episode.
Same bat time, same bat channel type situation next week? What's going on?
Well, next week I'm out of town, but in 2 weeks, we should be back with Matt, if Matt's head's okay. And if Matt's head's not okay, be prepared to talk about Spider-Man.
Ooh. Before we leave, out of Spider-Man and Batman, Batman's been around the longest, but I feel like Spider-Man has more stories.
Well, there was that period of time where Spider-Man was coming out literally every week. It was exhausting.
They had, like, Spectacular Spider-Man, Amazing Spider-Man, something Spider-Man. Oh my god, why is Spider-Man in everything?
Ultimate Spider-Man, then he was part of the Fantastic Four.
Oh, man. The Avengers.
He was part of the Avengers.
The Defenders, I think he was a part of for a while.
Possibly.
Jesus.
I don't know. You know what? When you put it like that, they have done a lot of Spider-Man.
They have done a lot of Spider-Man. Yeah, I guess we get to talk about who our favorite clone is.
The answer will surprise you. Yeah, so we'll be back next time, either with Matt or we're talking about Spider-Man all night.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes.
We'll keep going down the list of heroes until we hit rock bottom.
I like this.
Yeah, I like a more focused show.
Yeah, I feel like we should throw a fastball at Matt and be like, "We're talking about Spider-Man today. I don't care what you're talking about. We're talking about Spider-Man today."
No. If we do that, we'll throw the X-Men at him and see what happens. All right. Good night, everyone.
Good night.